Let me just introduce myself so you know who's talking to you. I'm Amy Baker, and for those who I haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, I've been at this church for a long, long time. I've been on our counseling staff since 1987, so I am one of the dinosaurs here. We're going to start tonight with desires that are too small, but let's just go to the Lord and ask Him to bless our time and our week and ask Him to get the glory. Lord, You are the best and the greatest, and we are so thankful to belong to You. Thank You that it's all on You, that You made all the effort to make that happen. We didn't come seeking for You. Our hearts were desperately wicked, and there was none of us that was righteous. Thank You, Lord, that You and Your love reached down and out of compassion drew us out of the pit and have set our feet on a firm foundation. Lord, we want to come to You tonight expressing our adoration, our love. We want You to be praised. We want You to be lifted up. And we, Lord, are coming and asking that You would just help us through this week. I pray that You would help those who are speaking to communicate clearly. I pray that You would help those who are speaking to be helpful in what they're communicating. I pray for those who are listening that You would just help them to be able to focus and concentrate and not be distracted by all the many things that can distract us. I pray that You would give them blessing as the week continues and they've been sitting in chairs for a long time. It's a long time since most of us have been in school. So, Lord, would You just like give us lots of grace this week, please? We're asking You for it. We're depending on You for it. And then at the end of the week, we want to give You all the praise and glory because You are the very, very, very best. We love You so much. Amen. All right, so let's start with desires that are too small, and we're just going to go through a case study that was provided by God for us. And to make this relevant, let me just ask each of you to think of an unfulfilled desire that you have. And it can be as grand as you want it to be, but it can't be to be perfectly like my Savior, or to be done with sin forever, or some variation of that. Those are not too small desires. So think of a grand desire, but there are some restrictions on the grandness of what you can make it. So think of something, get something in your mind, and I hope that as I ask you to do that, that you've all just been able to think of something really desirable that you'll be able to link to the points that we're going to review in this session. And where you are already applying the points we're going to cover, I hope that what you're going to do is rejoice and just give God glory and honor and praise and say, God, You are magnificent. You are wonderful. Thank You that You are, I see Your grace in my life already. You are a great, great God. If you see new ways to apply God's truth, I hope you'll be encouraged with the opportunity to display God's splendor in just more and more beautiful ways as we go through some of this material. Now, I believe that the two people that we're going to see in our case study this evening had really grand desires. Really grand desires. But in my opinion, their desires were too small. We're going to be looking at Genesis 29 and 30. God has kindly allowed us to see the struggles of Rachel and Leah, stimulated by Rachel's grand desire for children. What a beautiful desire that is. And Leah's grand desire for a happy marriage. Again, another beautiful desire. Now, before we read this passage, let's just review what we know about Rachel and Leah. Give me some input. What are some of the things that we already know about these two women as we go into this passage? They are sisters. Which one's older? Leah is the older one, okay? And what's going to happen with these two sisters? They're going to marry the same man. Is that going to be a wonderful thing? Not going to be a wonderful thing, okay? Which one is beautiful? Rachel. Rachel is. Which one does the man that they marry love? Rachel. And we already know where that's going to head, right? Okay, you can just imagine if you were the person who first married your husband and then somebody else came along who was more beautiful and he loved her more and what that would do to you. You were the second wife that he married, and you couldn't have children. And you were in a culture where that was pretty important. Imagine what that would do to you. Well, we don't have to imagine too much because God's just going to tell us. He's going to tell us all about it. So let's go to Genesis 29, and I'm still reading from the old NIV 1984, so you guys may have moved on from that a long time ago. As I said, I've been around for a long time, and some of my old habits just remain with me, so I'm reading from the 1984 NIV version. Genesis 29, beginning in verse 16. Now Laban, that's their dad, had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel, right off the bat. I mean, he seems to love at first sight. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here and work with me. That was a pretty good deal for Laban. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because he was in love with her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time's completed. I want to lie with her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zilpha to his daughter as her maidservant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Laban replied, well, it's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, and then we'll give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years' work. And Jacob did so. He is in love to the max, right? And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maidservant. Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it's because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. Grand desire, right? Surely my husband will love me now. She conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord has heard that I'm not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. Again, she conceived. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last, my husband will become attached to me because I've borne him three sons. Three sons. We know that at least it was 9 months each, right? I wish my husband would love me. Maybe he'll love me now. Maybe he'll love me now. Maybe he'll love me now. Now at last. So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I'll praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Now, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, something really rational, right? Give me children or I'll die. Jacob has a lot of control over that. And if there is an infertility problem in this couple, who might we assume might have the infertility problem? Probably not the man who has just fathered four sons, right? Okay, Jacob became angry with her and said, am I in the place of God who's kept you from having children? Then she said, well, here's Bilhah, my maidservant. Imagine you're Bilhah. Here's Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and through her, I too can have a family. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Now listen to this statement. It's just hard to fathom, but this is what desires that are too small do to you. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me. Rachel tears apart her marriage with her own hands, and what does she say? God has vindicated me. He said that what I'm doing is a good, he has vindicated me. God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son. Because of this, she named him Dan. So imagine your Bilhah again. You don't get to name your child. It's Rachel's child now. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Now we hear another tragic statement.